Okay, we are now live to the universe from Langbride for one day only. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you so much for our worship this morning. I thank you for your words toward us. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the encouragement we have from the worship and from one another. Thank you for local church, Father. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for all the others in our local church who are watching online. Hallelujah. So we thank you now, Father, that we are going to gather around your word, these truths that can change our lives. Thank you for the truths held within your scripture, within the Bible. Thank you that they are the agents of change in our lives. And thank you that we have the opportunity to look now at these words that literally breathe from you, Father. Thank you for the excitement that we can get from your scriptures, from deep revelation. Hallelujah. So I speak our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus, understanding so that these seeds we're about to scatter in our hearts will not be stolen, but these seeds will stay, will germinate, will grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. The time has come. Yeah, it's that time of the year for my favourite two sermons. Favourite teaching topic. Well, I'm kind of looking at all the guys that have been here for a long time. It's like, let's not turn this into a pantomime. When I get to my punchline, we're not all going to say it together. But a lot of you guys will know what is coming. And yeah. It's always him. I'll give you that. I will give you that. That's a good one. So we're not going to have a pantomime. Well, maybe we will.
He's behind you.
Okay. So my favourite teaching topic, and this is something that I teach year upon year, but it's always exciting. I remember the first time I got this revelation, it just blew me away. The typology in this. Because this week I'm going to teach on where Jesus was born and also who came to visit him. And next week it's who came to visit him and who didn't come to visit him, which is even just as important. So where was Jesus born? Who came to visit him? And in this way we're going to answer the two final questions we had from the start of the series. So we've answered, is he coming? Who is he? Why is he coming? What was required for him to come? We're now going to look at these two questions. Where did he come, i.e. where was he born, and who came to see him? And I really should answer those last two questions together, but just for time, I'm going to have to do them over 2 weeks. So you got to come next week. It's a bit like EastEnders at the end of the sermon. I'm going to go, doof, doof, doo, doo, doo. Leave it on a cliffhanger. Is that what EastEnders does? It's EastEnders, doof, doof, doo, doo, doo. So, I need to answer these last two questions together because they're related. Because the typology, the picture, the analogy, is that what we call it? Yeah. Analogy, picture, typology, the types and shadows of around where Jesus was born and about who came to see him at his birth are really closely related. We've got to understand both of those. Where was he born? Who came to see him? That tells us how he's going to die. That tells us why he came. That tells us why he's here. That typology. So I really should do that in one sermon, but for time we'll do it over 2 weeks. And I've kind of said it, they are the most exciting sermons to prepare and deliver in the whole year. Love this. So yeah, so most of you will have heard it before. Hopefully, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun, is there? So everything I preach, you've heard it before anyway, normally. So hopefully you'll get some new revelation if you've heard me preach it year after year. Hopefully this will be fantastic revelation if you've not heard it before. So there'll be nuggets for everybody, new and deeper revelation. I sure hope so, because this, I think, is one of the most important sermons you can preach. That's one of the most important truths in the whole of Scripture. It's the most important, for me, it's the most important piece of typology. Types and shadow. Showing us why he came. Showing us his purpose. Showing us his mission. And remember, it was God the Father's purpose, God the Father's mission. So this is really important. His place of birth, who came to see him, informs us of his death. So why is that? Well, I will cover that. And why he had to die that way. It's a stunning piece of typology. And I have to say, typology that is lost on most of the church. Typology that's lost on the most of Christians. The more I meditate upon this, the more I see what we think about Christmas narrative, what we think about the birth of Jesus, the way it's taught, what's focused on, is one of the best victories of the enemy that there is. You know, we focus on the stable. We focus on the wise men. Why? So we don't focus on where he was really born. So we don't focus on the shepherds, where the real nuggets, the real typology, the real important stuff is. It's a way to deflect us from the truth. And the first verse I'm going to use, the first Christmas verse, you'll probably think is quite unusual. It's Colossians 2, 6 and 8. Colossians 2, 6 says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Most of what we're taught about the birth of Jesus are traditions of men. And we swallow them, hook, line, and sinker. And we don't get the true meaning of where he was born, who came to see him. We don't get that deep, deep revelation in the Christmas narrative, the Christmas message about why he came and how he's going to die. And it's a victory of the enemy. And the first of these traditions of men is about his place of birth. Now, most of us, me, when I was younger, got all my information about the birth of Jesus from school nativity plays and nativity sets. Remember that year when I took in our nativity set and kind of deconstructed and destroyed it? And it was that point that I'd never ever noticed it before. In our nativity set, there are pigs.
Yes.
Pigs. It's just like, I'd never noticed that before. And then there's these pigs in the stable. It's like, that was hilarious. But anyway, let's not even go there. But so we learn a lot from school nativity plays, from what we see on the telly, from our nativity scenes. And if anything, these next two sermons, the main lesson should be, read your Bible. Read your Bible. That's where we find out about Jesus. Read your Bible. So where did he come from? Where was he born? Now you may be thinking, well, an easy question, Vic. This is, and you know, it's not. That's not Mastermind. It was in the stable by the inn. That's what everybody says. You go out onto the street. You go out into most churches. You go into schools. Anywhere. Where was Jesus born? In the stable by the inn. And I agree that's what we're told, but it's not biblical. So let's look at the Bible. So let's go to Matthew 2. Because this is about the birth of Jesus. There must be heaps of stuff telling us where he's born, because it's so important. There must be masses of information about the birth of Jesus. Matthew 2, verse 1. "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Then Luke 2. Excuse me. Luke 2, verse 4. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And that's it. That's it in the Gospels about where Jesus was born. Now, I've read all the verses about Jesus' birth. I've gone into Esord and searched stable. In birth, Jesus, just to make sure I've not missed any verses, because it's so ingrained in our tradition, it must say in here that Jesus was born in a stable by the inn. But it doesn't. It doesn't explicitly say that Jesus was born in a stable by the inn. Yes, it says he wasn't born in the inn. It says there was no room in the inn. I get that. It says he was laid in a manger. What's a manger? It's a feeding trough for animals. Doesn't say what type of animal in here. So, okay, it could be a stable. I agree, it could be. But not certain. It's not a certainty like we hear today. Here's the logic that I think's been used over the years. One, Jesus was placed in a manger. Two, you can find a manger in a stable, so he was born in a stable. Three, there was no room in the inn, so he was born in the stable by the inn. That's where this has come from. And that's what we have deduced. And that is the traditional understanding. But it's a lazy interpretation of the Bible. Very lazy. And it's not logical. It's like me saying, elephants are big. Elephants are grey. Therefore, all big animals are grey. That's rubbish logic. That's making things up from other facts that are not related. That's what we've done with this scripture. If we look at the Greek, there might not even be an inn involved. Look at the Greek word for inn in that verse, and it can be translated, and it is translated in other parts of the Gospels, as a guest room in a home. So there mightn't even have been an inn in this account. So gone is the role of innkeeper. In the nativity scene, that nativity play, that's one less role for little Johnny to play. There mightn't even have been an innkeeper. That Greek word for inn is translated as guest room in a house in other places in the Bible. It could be meaning there was no room for them at Mary or Joseph's relatives. That's what it could mean. Yet we have this, we've made this great thing out of the stable by the inn. There's always, in nativity, there's always the innkeeper. I've got a great story about that, but it's rather rude if anybody wants to ask me about it later. I'm not going to preach it. Why is this great thing made of the stable at the inn? I tell you why. To deflect from the truth of his real birthplace. To distract attention to the truth of where he was really born. And the true significance of his birthplace. Because a stable by the inn is nothing. It's just a wooden shack at the side of a pub. It's not relevant, it's not important. But once we look at some other scriptures, and once I tell you where I believe he was born, man, that is significant. Every year I study this, every year I teach this, I do get this deeper and deeper anger about this truth being hijacked. And people just do not see the significance of his birthplace. I've had discussions, I've had arguments with people. People have given me so much grief online about this. You know, why don't you just preach what the Bible says, that Jesus was born in a stable by the inn, and give me chapter and verse? They can't. But people get really upset when I tell them this amazing piece of typology. Why? Because the enemy doesn't want us to be distracted. The enemy does want us to be distracted, sorry, away from the real truth. Well, not real truth. Away from the truth. And I get angrier and angrier about this. And well, I've not even looked at the wise men yet. Just wait till I get there. Next week I'm going to be really angry. I'm going to be really angry. Who wants to be wise men in the nativity? Everybody. Who wants to be the shepherds? No. Nobody wants to be a shepherd in the nativity play. They're second-class citizens to the wise men. Just wait till you hear the sermon next week. The shepherds are of preeminence and higher and more important than any wise man. But that's next week. Okay, so Jesus born in Bethlehem, we see that. Well, no, actually not. Not according to the Greek. What the Greek says is Jesus was born in, at, on, or near Bethlehem. Our translation says in. The actual scripture says, or could say, he was born in, at, on, or near Bethlehem. It says he was born in a farming or an agricultural building where animals are fed. And that's what the Gospels say. In, at, or near Bethlehem, in a building that feeds animals. It's what the Gospels say. Would you agree? Mm-hmm. Now, you can imply it's a stable, but I'm saying it's not 100% certain. So if the Gospels don't explicitly say where Jesus was born, is there anywhere else that does it? Yes, now I have marked it, because every year it takes me ages to find it. So go to Micah, which is one of my clean pages. It gets a few flicks near in December. Apart from that, if I'm being really honest, I don't go there very much. Micah 5:2 says this, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, thou, there'll be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." That verse is a prophecy about the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, you may say, well, it doesn't explicitly mention Jesus. Oh, it does. Because it mentions a ruler who is coming, who has been from eternity. Now, I did a series recently when I preached about that, and there's only one person who has been and will be and who forever will be, and that's God Almighty, the Godhead, the Trinity, and that includes Jesus Christ. So this verse, it talks of a ruler who has been from everlasting, who will come. That means eternal from the past. The ruler of Israel will be everlasting from the start of time. That can only be talking about Jesus Christ. And it says he will come at Bethlehem. So there's a prophecy about the birth of Jesus Christ. Micah 4:8. Says, "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." Here's another part of this prophecy about the birth of Jesus Christ. And this time it is more specific. This time, you know, we know it's about Jesus, it's about talking to the kingdom. We know when Jesus came, the kingdom came. But this is saying that the birthplace, the kingdom will come at this place called the Tower of the Flock. Yep. The Hebrew words used for the Tower of the Flock are Migdal Eder. The kingdom will come, Jesus will come, the Messiah will come at Migdal Eder. That place is mentioned one other time in the Holy Scripture. That is Genesis 35. See, this thing about Jesus and his birthplace, this is hidden in Scripture for us to find. It's a mystery there for us to find. It's not a mystery hidden so that we can't find it. It's a mystery that we can find, but it involves rightly dividing the word. Genesis 35:21 says, "And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Adair." That word Adair, that's the same as Tower of the Flock. It is also Migdal Adair in the Hebrew. Only two places those scriptures are in, and that place is in scripture, Migdal Adair, but it is really significant. Genesis 35:21. Yeah. Now in the Gospels, we've already seen that Jesus was to be born at Bethlehem. No, it was on, at, in, or near Bethlehem. Micah also talks about Bethlehem, but it mentions this place called Migdal Adair. So what? You may be thinking. So what? Well, there's a commentary on the Old Testament scriptures written by the rabbis, intelligent men of the word, called the Targum, and it's still in use by the Jewish community today. And as well as having comments on the scriptures in the Targum, they sometimes paraphrase the word. So they'll take parts of the word and write an understanding of it, like a translation of the scriptures. So in the Targum, the following phrase is written, based upon Micah 4:8 and based upon Genesis 35:21, and it says, "He spread his tent beyond Migdal Adair, the place where the King Messiah will reveal himself at the end of days." Now that's not the end of days when he's coming back, because these guys were writing this about the coming of the Messiah. And for them, the end of days was the coming of Jesus Christ the first time. So don't get confused about this end of days. Oh, it's Revelation. That's Jesus coming again. No, this is when he came the first time. This is what they're writing about. The place where the King Messiah will reveal himself at the end of days. These rabbis interpreted the scriptures they had at the time, which is the Old Covenant, Old Testament, and we still have them. And they told their people where they thought Jesus, the King, the Messiah, would be born. Or rather than their words, where he would reveal himself. And they say it's going to be Migdal Adair. That's what these rabbis say. They rightly divided the scripture that was available to them at the time and named, in advance of his coming, named the place where he was going to be born. And they named it Migdal Adair, the watchtower of the flock. I mean, that for me is a great lesson for us today in that rightly divide our word. Rightly divide the scripture that we have. Don't go by tradition, don't go by your nativity scene, go by the word. Now, there's also something else that the Jewish people have, and that's a thing called the Mishnah. And that is where they've written down all their oral tradition. So before we had paper, pens, papyrus, whatever they had back then, everything would be this oral tradition, and they would pass it down, you know, one to another, religiously and perfectly. But then when they started getting papyrus and all that, they wrote that down. And so what we have, or what they had, is this book of oral teachings that is really important for the Jewish nation, called the Mishnah. Now, we've seen that Migdal Adair literally means the watchtower of the flock. That's what the Hebrew means. And the Mishnah tells us that it was this place where the ewes for the special temple flock gave birth to potential Passover lambs. So the Mishnah talks about this place. It says there is this place where we have temple shepherds who look after the temple flock of sheep, and out of those sheep will come the potential Passover lambs, which is really important for the Jewish nation. So it's an important place, it's an important thing. And in this place, the temple shepherds would check the newborn lambs for purity. Check them over. Because you can only use spotless lambs, lambs without blemish. So there was this place where that happened. Now we know, of course, that only the purest lambs, only the perfect lambs, could be chosen for the Passover sacrifice. Anyone seen The Chosen, the Christmas special, the first one? You need to watch it. It talks about the shepherds selling the Passover lambs to the Pharisees, and they're looking for perfect sacrifices. It's a powerful, powerful thing. You need to watch that. But in the Mishnah, it talks about this place where these Passover lambs are born, where the shepherds work, where all that happens. And do you know what it's called? Migdal Eder. It's called Migdal Eder. Migdal Eder, it was a tower structure, a round structure, but it was a farm building. It was like a barn. Indeed, it was like a stable, but only for sheep. No pigs, no donkeys. Only sheep. Absolutely nothing. No cattle lowing. It was made up of stalls where the ewes could be kept separate, and used a place where the ewes would give birth. It was also a place where these sheep would be fed. So they had food troughs, a manger. So it was a place where animals slept and were fed. There was mangers there. Now, please be assured, I'm not making this up. You can't make this up. Do your research. Find out about it. So we have a prophecy in the Bible telling us that Jesus would be born at Migdal Eder. That's in Micah. We have another prophecy telling us that Jesus would be born at Bethlehem, in or near Bethlehem. What are the chances? What do you think are the chances that Migdal Eder could be in, at, on, or near Bethlehem? Well, you know it's going to be there because I'm building up to that. It's a stupid question, Vic. If you go to Bethlehem today, you can go on the tours. I checked this, they even have open top bus tours. Everywhere me and Nunzi go, we've got to do an open bus tour. Open top, you know. It's one of her things. So you can do that in Bethlehem, darling. Go on an open top bus. And one such tour, they will take you to a place. I'm being watched. They will take you to a place, an area on the edge of town, get this, that they still call today the Shepherd's Field. They call it the Shepherd's Field. And your guide will tell you, this is the field where the angels came, saw the shepherds, and told them about peace to earth, goodwill toward men. That's part of what they say, telling them about the good news about Jesus. We saw that in Luke 2, 8 to 14 last week. Jesus would come to earth, bring peace, bring goodwill from the Father towards mankind. Your tour guide will tell you that happened here on the edge of Bethlehem. Now, it's also been shown in archaeological records and by Jewish texts, but that field, that area, that place on the edge of Bethlehem where the Passover lambs were born and raised is Migdal Eder. They can show it that there was a building there in the archaeological record. So, in the time of Jesus, all the lambs for the temple sacrifices were born in one place. And one place only. And that was Migdal Eder. In this area, on the edge of Bethlehem. Anyone heard of Jerome, an early saint? Lots of writing. Sean will know him. Well, might not know him, but you know what I mean. Sean will know of him. Jerome said this place, Migdal Eder, where all the temple flock was, where all the sacrificial lambs were born for Passover, was 1,000 paces from the centre of Bethlehem. Now that's not far. So according to Jerome, it was pretty close to Bethlehem. You could say it was in, at, on, or near Bethlehem, yeah? So the word talks about Migdal Eder, about this spreading his tent at Migdal Eder on the edge of Bethlehem. The Mishnah, the Targum, all talk about this place where sacrificial lambs were born. This was the area where the lambs for the temple sacrifices were born and raised. They were delivered there, and who looked after them? the temple shepherds. It was their job to look after the sacrificial lambs. They were, of course, the first people to ever see every single sacrificial lamb that was born for the Jewish sacrifices. They knew which lambs were without spot, were without blemish. They knew which lambs were suitable for sacrifice. They were the experts. When it came to sacrificial lambs, they were the experts. More on them next week. So there's this separate evidence suggesting that the lambs for the temple were born at Migdal Eder or at the shepherd's field. I believe these two places are one and the same. So we have Migdal Eder in the shepherd's field, right on the edge of Bethlehem, 1,000 paces from the centre, which is not far. Could this just be a coincidence, or is it hugely significant? I don't think anything's of coincidence in the Bible, or correctly, rightly dividing the Bible. I think it is hugely significant. I would suggest there is nothing of coincidence when things of the Lord are concerned. It's hugely significant. We have scripture, we have prophecy, we have rabbinical commentaries, we have archaeological evidence pointing to this place on the edge of Bethlehem as the birthplace of Jesus. I believe all these things point to Migdal Eder as the place where Jesus is born, not the stable at the inn. Migdal Eder. Now, you may think I'm just making this up. I'm not clever enough to make this up. I'm clever, I'm good at maths, but I'm not clever enough to make this up. I believe that scripture is showing us, pointing us towards this truth. The word talks about Migdal Eder. The word talks about Bethlehem. The word points to Jesus being born in a building where domestic animals were kept, where there were mangers or feeding troughs. This all adds up to me, to Jesus being born in that building on the edge of Bethlehem called Migdal Eder, where, get this, every previous Passover sacrifice had been born. He had to be born there. Of course he was born there. Why? Because that's where every other sacrificial lamb was born. That's where every other lamb that was going to die for the sins of the nation was born. And we know what Jesus came to do. It all adds up to Jesus being born at this place called Migdal Eder. And I think if we're honest and look at the scriptures, that fits in much better than stable at the inn. And it's got so much significance and so much meaning and so much power compared to a stable at the inn. It's mind-blowing. When you get this, when you understand, when you delve into the scriptures, look at all the evidence and see about this place called Migdal Eder. I believe Migdal Eder was the birthplace of Jesus, as this was the place where every sacrificial lamb before him was born. And he was born to be sacrificed. He was your sacrificial lamb, he was my sacrificial lamb, and he was going to be the last sacrificial lamb. I mean, these temple shepherds were just, we'll see about it next week, they were just amazed and in wonder at seeing Jesus. But if the chosen is anything right, they also realised they're out of a job. Because don't need any more sacrificial lambs. No more sacrificial lambs, just barbecues. So there would still be the plank. They still needed to raise the sheep, but there's no more sacrifices. Of course, Jesus was born in Migdal Eder. He had to be born in Migdal Eder. What a picture. What a piece of typology. Pointing to his death. The place of his birth. Pointing to what his death would be. And why his death would be significant. Every sacrificial lamb had been born there. And checked by the shepherds. I'm kind of giving away next week's punchline. But why were the shepherds the first to see Jesus? Because they knew a sacrificial lamb when they saw one. Of course they were there to see him first. I'll elaborate on this next week as to why I believe we have so much emphasis on the wise men. It's to distract from the shepherds. Why would you want a cloth over your head when you can have a crown? I was thinking about this morning. I was trying to remember back to our nativities a long, long time ago in primary school. And what I do remember was, ain't no way I'm going to be a shepherd. It's like Joseph, wise men at a push, but I'm not going to put, because you just put a tea cloth over your head, didn't you? And a bit of rope. No significance in the shepherds. I tell you, these men coming to see Jesus at his birth, I'm giving away everything already. The wise men weren't there at his birth. The wise men weren't there. I was going to say the wise men weren't there in the stable. The wise men weren't there at Migdal Eder. They weren't at the stable anyway. Well, maybe they went to the stable, but Jesus wasn't there. You know, of course he was born at Migdal Eder. That was where every other sacrificial lamb had been born, had been checked, had been looked at by these temple shepherds. Yep, this one is spotless. This one is without blemish. Let's take that one to the temple for sacrifice. Yep, no, that one's got a spot, that one's got a blemish. No, that'll have to go for whatever. They knew what they were doing. Please watch The Chosen, that Christmas special before the start of the series. I won't give it away, but the line at the end will make your soul leap. Of course he was born there, and I'm going to reinforce that truth next week when I talk about who came to see him at his birth. I mean, you know the answer already, but we'll look at that. And that's another piece of typology that fits in with this interpretation. Of course he was born at Migdal Eder. Of course he wasn't born at a stable by the inn. You won't want to miss that message. Amen. Amen.